have we heard in this space, on this day, the passion, according to St. Mark, read by one voice. Sometimes in the past, it has been sung, and this Friday, our choir will sing a masterpiece, St. Mark's Gospel by Charles Wood, St. Mark's Passion. And it will be beautifully sung by our choir and soloists. But today, there is no gospel chanting, no candles in procession, no glory to you, Lord Christ, that gives honor to the gospel. It is stark and plain. Some of you will miss the way we have done the Passion story in the past with various readers taking the part of Peter and Jesus and the narrator and the crowd being taken by the congregation. And that is dramatic. But perhaps this year we can look at the Passion afresh. And what comes to my mind is that the single voice helps us think about the aloneness of Jesus. We have four canonical Gospels, and none of them can match St. Mark for speaking of Jesus being abandoned. He is abandoned by his family, deserted by his companions and followers. He is betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter. In the end, there are just a few women, and they are, St. Mark tells us, a distance away. In Mark, Jesus says only one word from the cross, perhaps because there is no one to hear him. And that word is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So today I am wondering what this means about loneliness, about isolation that comes with suffering and compounds it. Have you ever felt God forsaken? Are there any of us who have not at one time or another in our lives felt that we were swallowed up in events, that we had no place to turn and no one to turn to? Or perhaps we have done the best we could, worked and schemed and struggled, in the end had to face defeat, foolish and vulnerable, incapable. Or perhaps we were estranged from one for whom we had felt love, a parent or a child or a sibling or a spouse. So today we hear the message of the cross, which is that part of being human is in fact being alone. In this life, one is not always loved and nurtured. We discover that support and love can be fleeting, that we are a funny mix of being both capable, strong, and inventive, but also subject to forces beyond our control, leading us sometimes to privation and degradation and humiliation. We all know that there are quick fixes for this aloneness, wrong turns, adding another 100 Facebook friends that we hardly know, sitting in yet another stadium, cheering a supposedly Minnesota team, craving symbols of security or success that serve our interests or status, believing that we must have tidiness or hygiene or security or personal happiness above everything else. Those who come to the cross have learned, sometimes the hard way, that life does not consist in our confidence, in our sense of moral superiority. It does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Life in the light of the cross happens when we die to all that. Life in the light of the cross comes when we forgive others because we have been forgiven. When we break bread and not hoard it because we know what it is like to have been hungry. When we stand by the cross not because it is Jesus' story but because it is our story. The cross belongs to us all. It is God's surprising answer to the sin of the world. It changes our relation to God and it changes our relation to other people. What Jesus taught was that it was precisely in that abandonment and death of the self that was at the very heart of his teaching, long before the Passion narrative. In the 8th chapter of Mark, we find these words, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and come after me. Take up their cross and follow. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who want to save their life will lose it." To name our cross, and then to look at our lives in the world through that perspective, this gospel paradox is at the very heart of our work this Holy Week.